Earnhardt Jr. Wheel to wheel now for the lead. Hamlin down low. Newman up high, both with five rows deep in drafting hill.
The tracks that matter around the Pacific Northwest, and we certainly have one, and that is State Line Speedway over in Idaho. And joining us now to give us an update on what's going on over there is the promoter of that track, Joe Dahlefeld. Joe, how are you tonight?
I'm great.
Good.
Good weather is here, school's out, and people are hungry for racing.
Yeah, aren't they, though? And you've sure had your share of it this season. Give us an update as to how the season has gone for State Line and what you have coming up to take care of all the fans for the second half of the year.
Well, I'll tell you, April and May was kind of a disaster. I think it was all around the Pacific Northwest with the wet weather that we had and the wind and the storms and the lightning and all the other things associated with it. But once all that cleared off, I'll tell you what, people came out in droves, and it's been great. The car counts are up. People are excited. We've got more people staying home and probably doing a little bit less travel than what they normally do, and so the grandstands are a little fuller. And that makes for some good racing and great nights.
I've seen a trend on some of the series where the guys who, you know, travel like to Montana, like to your track, from this side of the mountains, and we're seeing more and more as, you know, with the economy the way it is, the local guys are really taking part in some of these big shows that are coming up. Now, you've got your big show coming up here with the Idaho 200. Do you anticipate a lot of that as well?
I do. What we've tried to do is work with area hotels and so on and let them know that we've got racers and families coming over. And a lot of folks are making a new term that you hear quite a bit, and we're using it quite a bit. It's called a staycation.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, within a 350-mile radius, people can travel fairly affordably as long as their destination is affordable. And so we try to find some things for them to do, find some reasonable rates at hotels and so on, or let them camp at the facility, whatever it takes to try to make them comfortable. And in our case, it's a three-day event, so we try to have some enjoyable things for the 3 days, maybe after the races, have some parties, that type of thing. So we're working on completing our plans for the Idaho 200, August 1st, 2nd, 3rd. We've got basically three different groups coming in, if you really think about it that way. The INSA group on Friday night, the Rocky Mountain Challenge Series on Saturday night, and a combination of them plus probably some Les Mile Challenge folks, some ASA Northwest Tour folks on Sunday, and it should just be a great weekend of racing and lots of different action, and hopefully several different winners. It would be great.
There you go.
Montana, by the way, is doing the same thing, and I want to give them some kudos because, you know, if you really stop and think about it, when it comes to 200s, they were kind of on the forefront years ago with the Slack family, and they've done a great job of entertaining people when they get over there as well. And I know their race is prior to ours a few weeks. And I would encourage everybody to go over to Montana and try to support that. They're working on the same type of thing where when people come to the area, there's plenty of things to do, sightseeing and so on for the whole family besides just racing. So take advantage of it.
For those listening who are not familiar with your facility over at State Line, kind of give us a description of the type of track it is and you know, the specifics that people seem to get into.
We're in kind of a hub area between Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. We're a small family-operated quarter-mile high-banked asphalt oval track. We seat about 5,000 people. We are kind of a friendly little place. When people try to arrive, we try to show them a good time and accommodate their needs, whatever it may be. We try to let them do some things that maybe they aren't allowed to do at some of the other tracks where they can come bring the rig in and leave it parked for the weekend. Like when we have these big races, we don't make a move or unhook or unload or any of that kind of thing, and unless they're just all together too long. But most of the time, they can leave their trailers and their equipment. They can lock the door and take off for the day and come back in the evening and unlock for racing. So try to make it consumer-friendly in that regard. As far as the types of racing, we have backup shows with all the various classes, or when we have the big races, we try to have some different types of racing. This year, I think we've got the Outlaw Compacts and the trucks coming over, the four-cylinder trucks, and that should make a nice mix of cars, mix of shows.
Yeah, and I know I've seen that truck series on several occasions, and those guys really, they bring a somewhat decent amount of trucks with them, but, you know, sometimes even with a small car count, those guys just really tear it up, and it's always fun to watch them. Let's see, we're here at Tuesday night. Now, you run also Wednesday night programs. What's for dinner tomorrow night?
Matter of fact, I just was over there thinking about that this afternoon. We're having braised beef short ribs, as a matter of fact. It fits for the driver's dinner. It's with some great pasta, chicken pasta salad, a cold pasta salad, and baked beans. So if you're a driver, a pitman, that's what you can look forward to for dinner. It's $5.25. But kidding aside, Wednesday nights are kind of fun. We run the same show every Wednesday. We're one of the few tracks that runs two times a week. We run on Wednesday and Saturday. Wednesday night is Roadrunners, Fever Fours, and Bump to Pass Racing. Surprisingly, the crowd is about 80% different than our normal Saturday night crowd. 20%, of course, about the same. And we have some diehard, really loyal Wednesday Night Fever fans, similar to what we did when we were at Spanaway Speedway years ago.
Yeah, I was just passed a note. Apparently, is Mrs. Dollefeld making daiquiris?
She is.
She is.
Strawberry. This week is Strawberry Delight or Peach Mango. And you can have it with vodka or rum.
We got okay. I'll take either one. We got to go. Well, Joe, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on. One more quick question before we let you go. What's going on as far as the acquisition of Spokane Raceway?
Everything has been moving forward. We believe the latest that we've heard is the judge has approved that the sale can be completed. As always, when a judge renders a decision, there is a 30-day appeal period that takes place, and we're under that 30-day appeal period right now. I think a week and a half of it's been gone by, so we've got another 2.5 weeks probably to wait. Once that's done, the county can formally appoint their operator, their interim operator. Hopefully it'll be us. We were the number one selection, or the one that the committee recommended to the Spokane County Council. Once that's done, then we need to meet with the Parks and Rec people at Spokane County, decide what area they want to try to do first. I'm anticipating we'll probably begin with Friday night high school drag racing to complete this season, do some repairs on the oval, and hopefully next year run both sides and have some asphalt oval racing and at least two nights of drag racing, once a month probably some SCCA-type events on the road course, and just spend the whole year getting that place rehabilitated and back up into shape. A lot of the buildings have gone through a little bit of deterioration through the winter, sheetrock, that type of thing. Needs some paint, some scrubbing, and some hard work. There's some infrastructure pathways that need to be repaved and some concrete that needs to be replaced. Handrails need to be put in place. And a whole lot of old debris that's, you know, any racetrack around the country, and it's no reflection on the previous people, but they accumulate a lot of junk, you know, the tires and iron and all of that stuff. Well, all that kind of stuff needs to be cleaned up so we can see what we have and kind of spruce it up. But that's the plan right now.
Well, awesome. It sure is cool to see that this is it's coming, and I know you're going to do a great job. One more thing before I go. I'd like to make a request for a table for two at the Idaho 200 for North Sound Racing. Can we accommodate that?
Sure can.
Excellent.
Would you like to be right outside the tower?
Well, I'd like to be close to Mrs. Dollefeld. That'd be okay. She sounds
down at turn four, table for two, coming right up.
That'd be awesome. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it, and congratulations on getting through the first part of the year, and we know that the second part of the year over at State Line is just going to be awesome. So keep up the good work, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. That was Joe Dollefeld. And good to have Joe on. What a neat guy. And, Tom, I know that, you know, we could go on about what kind of contributions and class that Joe Dollefeld brings to racing here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, he's done a great job. I know Joe when he was Sidewalk Slim at a radio station in Puyallup back in about 19, well, way back in time. But,
no way.
Yeah,
Sidewalk Slim, huh?
Sidewalk Slim. He was even skinnier than he is now. But came up through the Dick Bonus Spanaway Speedway School of Promotions and has done a good job at Stateline.
Oh, very cool. Nice to have him on. And I really, he's going to take Spokane Raceway Park. It was so cool to hear him talking about SCCA road course races coming back and the high school drags and coming back to Spokane. And it just couldn't have worked out any better for that facility over there. We are going to make our way now up north to a really good friend of the show, and that is Steve Beitler, the president and owner of Skagit Speedway. How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Good. Tom Glitherow is hanging out with us tonight.
Tom's with you. You guys must be having a hard time getting good help nowadays, huh?
Well, you know, injuries happen, and we got to bring in, the subs.
I'm just kidding. Tom, I'll tell you what, that guy, he's done everything. He's been around from clear back in the midget days and did a great job with Evergreen, and he's actually one of the men I do look up to in this racing industry. So, hi, Tom.
How you doing, Steven? You don't look up to me at all. Come on.
No,
you're my hero, man.
I have a lot of admiration for you, buddy.
Oh, can't you just feel the love in the room, huh? Well, as we have been doing all night long, Mr. Beitler, we've been checking in at racetracks all over the state of Washington, and now it's your turn. We all know what your season has been like, and the common theme has been weather, fuel costs, and what you're doing to take care of both issues you really have no control over.
Well, you know, the biggest thing is the weather's just been, it's been a grueling year, you know, mentally on me, just because we've had so many nights when it's been trying to rain us out. And, you know, last weekend, Saturday night was our biggest show of the year, our mid-season championship and fireworks show. And, you know, we filled the house up, and it rained, it quit. And we stuck around till almost 9 o'clock, and then it just opened up, and enough was enough. So we're going to come back this weekend and redo the mid-season championship and blow up the sky and, you know, shoot off a lot of fireworks.
Talk about what the season so far at Skagit Speedway has been like. I know that car counts, you know, you read the results on websites and whatever. Looks like you're filling up the pits. How about the grandstands as well?
You know, it's actually been pretty good, believe it or not. You know, we started off a little tough the first year, of course. We had some snow and some rain and some bad weather, but we've only really had one night where we were down a ways, and that was a week after Dirt Cup, which is expected. But I've been happy this year. We've changed our marketing strategy around a little bit, trying some new stuff that we think is going to work. And I do think that the economy is actually helping some small venues like ours, where people aren't spending big money on big trips, but they've always got $30-$40 a week and they want to spend for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going after those people. So we've actually had some pretty good crowds this year.
Mm-hmm. And Dirt Cup was just off the chart.
Yeah, Dirt Cup was back rocking like it used to be. And 2007 was the worst Dirt Cup we had because it rained, you know, for like 4 days in a row. So it was the lowest numbers. And this year was our second highest one. So we were real happy. And just everybody went away with a good mood. And it was good racing and lots of people.
What was the attendance number on Saturday night for the final?
We were almost 7,000. We were 60, the high sixes on Saturday night. So that was a real good night for us.
Hey, Steve, talk to some of your competitors, and they've said you've had some outstanding racing. And I'd kind of like to revisit. During the winter, we talked about the history or the trend, excuse me, across the country is to go away from 410s to 360 cubic inch sprint cars. You told me I'm going to do something different. I'm going to put the emphasis on 410, not the 360. It appears it's working. I'd like you to kind of give us a mid-season recap. Did you make the wrong decision, right decision?
No, it's the right decision, definitely. I mean, Skagit Speedway is like Chico. It's got a heritage of having, you know, 410 class as your mainstay class, like Knoxville, Iowa, and a lot of tracks like that. And, you know, people like 410 sprint cars. It's like going to the hydroplane races. You know, they like the Olympic hydroplanes or going to the drag races. They like the top fuel and the funny cars and stuff. And, you know, 410 racing, just when they come on the track, you can feel the buzz through the crowd. A lot of racetracks that run 360s as their headliner class, you feel the same buzz because that's what the people know. That's what they know is the 360s. Skagit Speedway, they know the 410s, and I'm really pleased. We've got a lot of new guys coming out 410s this year, and the crowds responded to it.
Steve, you obviously, you know, from the several times that we've been up there so far this year, the people in the stands are just having an absolute blast with what's going on out there, and the shows are moving right along, which is really impressive. But talk about what plans you have for Skagit Speedway for the second half of 2008.
You know, the biggest thing, to be honest, what we're working on right now is our dirt. We resurfaced it last year, and we're just having a little bit of trouble. We've got a little bit dustier than it's been in the past, so I'm working with S&E Organics out of Bakersfield, and we kind of pinpointed some of the problems. Just the vein of clay that we use this year is a little more silt than what we want. So we're working on it now to kind of improve that. So that's going to make it nicer for the racers and the fans. But, you know, the biggest thing is we're just trying to put on a good quality show, be consistent every week, and get started at 7 o'clock and get everybody out of there by 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, give them their money's worth, keep the show moving, and just make it exciting racing. We've got a really good crop of racers up here now and a real good young crop. So, you know, we're not really doing anything outlandish or crazy. We're just trying to be real consistent and solid every week.
Hey, Steve, Mr. Mortland, you know, here's Mr. Beitler telling me that he doesn't like to do crazy things. Happened to be at a PRI show with this guy and a couple other people.
I think... Wait a minute. Can you just censor anything here?
I got him ready to turn off at any time, Steve. So
I don't know if you know this or not, but Steve Beitler's a very, very good bowler. There was a whole bunch of people in this nightclub, and they were dancing. Beitler's knocking them down with pumpkins. The guy had like a 300 average that night, you know? I was really, really impressed, except on the... I was with two different people, one of them who didn't drink at all, and then Beitler. So it was, do I go to church or do I go to hell or to jail?
And you didn't abandon me, though, did you?
My wife might be listening, so I can't. I know nothing, but he's a darn good bowler. These people were bruised and battered, but Steve runs a great racetrack. He too, kind of like Southland, we talked about what they've done. You know, I mean to tell you, the guy's put his heart and soul into that joint.
Yeah, no doubt.
From the lights and all the things he's done, the walls and the signage and everything else. And I really admire what he does. He treats his people right, the racers and that sort of thing. And like I said, I'm hearing some great things. Have not had a chance to get up there this year. I missed Dirt Cup for the first time in a long time. And my buddy, Mr. Allard, he didn't do his normal good job or so. But anyhow, like I said, if you want to go out and have a good time with Steve, I actually met Steve in a pizza place, I think, when he was a bouncer. Wasn't it some joint in like Mount Vernon or something?
Cascade Pizza. I was the bouncer back in the early 80s.
He was tough back then.
It was moonlight. I had to make some race car money.
I tell you, I got to be honest with you, Steve. I thought he was going to bring up the bikini judging contest. So.
That was Chico. That was a PRI.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I wasn't there. Honest to gosh.
I have no idea why they asked me to judge him. It's beyond my... I have no idea.
Well, some things...
Total surprise.
Yeah, some things you're just better off not knowing, huh? Well, Steve, thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Continued success with Skagit Speedway. And,
well, thanks, guys. It's been a... You know, 2008 has been a fantastic year. It's been a lot of really great things that's happened in my life, not just on the racetrack or at the racetrack, but even in my personal life. I'm as happy now as I've been in so long I can't remember. And, you know, life's good right now, and I'm really encouraged, and I'm ready to move forward.
Well, I know how you feel, pal.
When's the World of Outlaw, and who's going to win?
World of Outlaws will be here August 29th and 30th, and you know what? I think Joey Saldana is going to win her this year.
I'll bet you a beer on that.
You're on.
Get the check ready, okay?
Okay, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate
it,
as always, pal.
Okay.
All right. Let's head from up at Skagit Speedway, and let's make our way over to Eastern Washington one more time. Our good friend of the show, and that's why we like him, because he's always there for us. Kelly Hart joins us. How are you, Kelly?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Good evening.
Good. Tom Glitherow is joining us, and we're going to get caught up on what's going on over to Freda.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
You know, our paths seem to cross lots of times, huh?
Yeah, they do. Well, I had the good pleasure of getting to work for Tom back in 91 and 92, and those are two of the happiest racing years of my life. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is, and we're sure glad he's able to join us tonight. Talk about what's been going on. This is your first season in, you know, over at Freda Raceway Park, and Mike and Rita treating you okay?
Oh, yeah. Woody family are super people. You know, you almost feel like one of the members of their family when you're working for them. And, it's a nice little small town racetrack out in the middle of nowhere. The surface is old and worn out. Nobody can get a grip on it. And what it does is it creates some of the most exciting wheel-to-wheel, nose-to-bumper kind of racing that you're ever going to see at a short track. And it really is the epitome of small-town short-track Saturday night racing. I'd put our show up against anybody's in the country, you know, for a little redneck racetrack out in the middle of the desert.
So what you've got some big shows coming up for the end of the season as 2008, believe it or not, is starting to wind down. But what's in the works out at Ephrata this year?
Well, mid-season championships coming up, of course, this Saturday night. And then as part of the Witte family scheduling is that we basically run two or three local classes a week along with a visiting or traveling class. And heard earlier tonight you were talking to Terrible Tim McDougald, and the limited late models are going to be coming back on July 28th. We've got the NSRA, the ASA NSRA cars are coming up on August 9th. The Northwest Outlaw Street Stocks are going to be with us on August 23rd. We've got Topless Night at the Races. We're going to have...
Hold it. A redneck track in the middle of nowhere with Topless Night. You better explain that.
Okay, so this is going to be good. And I know, Tom, you're an open wheel guy. I know you are. Even though you spend a lot of time around the stock car crowd, I know that at your heart, you're an open wheel guy. On Saturday night, August 30th, we're going to have Topless Night, and it's going to have the Washington Midget Racing Association, the Golden Wheels, the Vintage Sprints, which is basically the Vintage Racing Association. They had 18 cars here at a race earlier this year, and it was Nostalgia Night like you wouldn't believe. We're also going to have a 360 Sprint Car Race, Cast Iron 360 Sprints, and Take the Wings Off. So we're basically going to have Wesco's going to be there. Our local Crow Sprints are going to be there. We've talked to a number of the cast iron teams throughout the state. They've all got off nights, and we could have as many as 30 wingless 360 sprints at Ephrata Raceway Park on that night. So we're really looking forward to Wingless Night. I think it's going to be just a blast. And that, of course, is August 30th. And not to take anything away from the World of Outlaws, they'll be at Skagit on that Saturday night. We fully expect the dirt people to be there, but anybody else that wants to go see wingless sprints on asphalt or the modifieds or any of these other great people, we'll have them for them at Ephrata. So that's going to be a really great show. And, of course, their season championships come up on September 13th. So, you know, pretty much something for everybody every weekend from here to the end of the year. And it's been a good year so far at Ephrata. Our crowds are up. Our car counts are holding steady in most of the divisions to growing in some of the other divisions. We just started a new class called Big Cars, which are like Hornets on steroids. And then in addition to them being Hornets on steroids, we always do something different with them. This last week, we watered down turn 3 and 4, and when they left the pit area, which is on the back stretch, we made them turn left and go backwards to the start finish line. So they're facing going into turn 4, and at a standing start, they were required to cross the start finish line, then turn their cars around somewhere before they got to the middle of turn 3.
I'm lost. I just hit the wall somewhere.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, they kind of hit the wall a little bit, but not really. They're really too busy running into each other. And then they turned around and they ran a 20-lap race in the right direction. But in order to get the race started, you had to cross the start-finish line and then turn your car around and go back the regular way.
Man.
So it created, and we held off. We did that as the last show of the night, right after the Northwest Outlaw Street Stocks literally went green to checkered for 75 laps. Had one 2-lap yellow flag, and that was it.
Wow.
And then for 20 laps, we had people on their feet as these 10 big cars crashed and bashed and spun and ran through the water in turn 3 and 4. We put so much water on the track that it ran down into the infield. And at Ephrata, we've got some grass and mud and desert dirt down on the infield of turn 3 and 4. Well, it got a little sloppy down there. And guys would push themselves down inside there. That would create them sliding through the mud, kicking it up onto the racetrack. Guys were going into turn 3, hitting the mud, sliding up off the racetrack. It was a hoot. One of the funnest races I've ever called, ever. And the crowd was standing the whole time.
Good thing.
Honestly, you'd have thought you were at a 40-lap nonstop sprint car race on dirt.
Wow.
It was that much fun.
I could just see smoke coming out of your transponder system on a race like that if you had them hooked up.
I don't think I took a breath in 20 laps, to be honest with you. I mean, I've had the good pleasure, I had the good fortune of getting to call Jamie Barnes' Dirt Cup win this year, and I don't think I took a breath in 40 laps there, and I don't think I took a breath in 20 laps during that big car race this last Saturday night. So the big cars have turned out to be a really a real crowd pleaser. In fact, you know, typically if you run your feature division next to last, people kind of start wandering out, and hardly a soul left the grandstand. So we were still packed, and here we got 10 big cars out. And to be honest with you guys, they're boats. You know, they're old Cadillacs and Lincoln Town cars. We've got a guy driving a 63 International Travel All with a cage in it.
Hey, there you go, Tom. It's right in your wheelhouse.
Hey, I might have one of those in there. No.
In the fleet.
You know, it's all about putting on a good show on the racetrack, and I think our drivers get it. I know that the Whitty family gets it, and I think the fans get it, too. Our crowds are up this year. We have not been bit by the weather bug. It hasn't been great early season weather, but we haven't got any rainouts either. So we've been kind of blessed with that, and like I said, crowds are up, so you know, attendance figures have gone up, and those are all good things, especially in this time. I think gas prices are keeping people home.
Oh, yeah, they are. Well, Kelly, as always, thank you so much for all you do for us. We've still got your open wheel report to play. I got it, and appreciate all of those as always. So
you're welcome.
Give our best to Mike and Rita. Tell them we'll be over, and we'll look forward to hanging out with you, buddy.
Thanks. Good to talk to you guys. Have a great rest of the night.
All right,
Kelly, I'm a weekend resident over there, so I'm going to come see you.
Good deal. Make sure you wave, and I'll get you all hooked up with the chili cheese fries. We don't do gravy on our
table. All right. Thanks a lot, Kelly.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Kelly Hart, always just a joy to be able to hang out with him. We've got lots more coming up here on North Sound Racing, presented by Action Auto Parts. We're going to talk to Jared Vorse. We've still got to get a hold of Caleb Hart, Tracy Brandenburg, and Michelle from over at the Wenatchee Valley Super Oval. So stick with us. We'll be right back.